This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Dooby-dooby-doo, if I were you, I'd listen to these dudes now. Dooby-dooby-doo, if I were you, they're gonna help you out now. Come on, shake and shmoo, we need you, and tell us how to deliver. Yeah, I'm not very good, cause I can't seem to make her shake and quiver. You know we got some questions, you can solve them, me will tell you which way you should act. You'll do the math. And Jake will give you some advice, but it'll probably be to break up fast. Listen to what they tell you. Gonna need some penicillin.
Ruh-ro.
Nice.
Was that original?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's Scooby-Doo.
Huh?
Phil and Mike.
Hey, hi. Guys. This is Phil Matarese talking.
This is Mike Luciano talking.
I just want to clarify that up top. We've done a lot of radio before.
Shit.
I'm on top of the mic. Who made that track?
That great question. You want to host this show?
Whoa.
I love it. That one was written by a band called Dear Lincoln. Shout out to... Oh, sorry. It was written by Nathan, but his folk band, Dear Lincoln, can be found on DearLincoln.com.
That's good.
Guys, that was really good.
That was a great theme song.
Yeah.
It was really great. We're just talking. Guys, Dear Lincoln, right into the show. Was that an instrumental that you dubbed over? Was that a ground up creation from your own?
Topic of discussion. We'd love to hear your response.
Get into it.
What do you guys think? Yeah. You guys are kind of experts in this field of voiceover.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't really tell from over here because it was played through the laptop.
Of course. That's on you.
That's a little behind the scenes action. But regardless, guys, great job. And I'm always impressed by how good people are at things. Making that little song, God, fucking way to go, man.
That's true. What the hell do? We just like fart into a mic for an hour, and this guy like created a piece of art.
I find it funny if you guys slowly took over hosting the show over the course of this episode.
Yeah. I somehow have listener questions like people sent me.
Because you kind of did that very slight underhanded dig or I couldn't really tell the song because I was playing through a laptop, but then you just kept doing that.
We could host the hell out of this show.
Yeah, you're not really reading it that well, but I guess if I had to answer that question, and then before you knew it, you guys took over. Just a slowly crossfade into you guys hosting the show. Phil and Mike, how would our fans know who the hell you guys are?
I don't know. Probably the only thing that we've made is our HBO show called Animals. We're working on our third season now. It's an animated HBO show that has had many funny people that's been on... this show, Ben Schwartz.
Yes.
Who else have we had?
The two people we're looking
the
at.
The two
right
people
here.
We've had.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Tim Baltz, I think, was in
Tim Baltz was on it. Gabrus is, we just had him in last week, who was so funny. He's this bulldog. It's talking animals. I gotta fill in what our show is. It's talking animals in New York City, basically, and all their little weird stories. And Jake and Amir have been on the show.
Yeah, we've been squirrels and rats.
Squirrels, yeah, just squirrels.
They did a quick rats.
Oh yeah, that's
season.
Right. I'm sorry.
and that was all the way back in the first season.
That was all the way back. Yeah,
season one.
A brief opening scene where Amir gets squashed yeah, by a big right. brick. Oh,
yeah. The squirrel then, version of me
I still get
like
my
me.
$7 residual check yeah, out of that. So yeah. 4 cents every 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's embarrassing cashing it. I guess I'll go to the bank.
Yeah.
Can I get 4 pennies for this guy?
Yeah.
And I owe my agent 0.04 cents. Right.
Yeah.
Can you slice this penny into fourths? But I was saying the squirrel one looks like me.
He's got a little Amir-ness to him. He's
I already
glasses.
Looked like a squirrel, and then you added glasses to him. And I was yeah. like, this is a very accurate portrayal of who I am as
something
an animal.
About him. We just wanted a little albino squirrel and for some reason. And we're like, I feel like Amir Blumenfeld could do this pretty good.
And Gabrus as a bulldog is perfect, too. Yeah,
Gabrus, he's really a good. Gym teacher bulldog, yeah, like a perfect. Long Island. It's really lovely. I can't wait. That'll come out in 3 years. We're just making it.
Yeah, that's the joy of podcasting is it might not be as prestigious as an HBO show, but hell, it's Monday and this will be online Wednesday night.
Yeah. And we make just as much cash for it.
Yeah.
4 cents an episode.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Jake and I get just as much cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys get paid a little bit differently. So this is a advice podcast. Have you guys done podcasts before?
We've done Gabrus's podcast before, and we did the Adam Carolla show once.
That's great.
We've had the world's... We love doing Gabrus's show, but we had the world's worst publicists of our last season for some reason. Where, yeah, we don't get on much, guys.
Got it.
We don't
got
get
it.
On much. We're sort of this weird cursory, like, we make our little HBO animated series. We get funny people on it, but we don't really do much else.
Right.
So we're really like happy to be here. Oh, yeah, we've done Harmontown. That was great.
Those are big ones. So this show
you've done, and Corolla's the biggest podcast.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
So yeah,
that was one where my uncle texted me. Holy shit!
You always know you've made it when uncle texts.
Yeah.
Have you ever been uncle texted? Maybe when we were on a crossword puzzle. That was a good uncle.
Whoa. When we were on
Jeopardy.
Yeah,
too,
when we were
right?
on, when we were Jeopardy questions. Wow. I was like through the everybody's.
That's so cool.
So funny. Like that's not incredible. Something that I was that. I mean, it was cool, but like I would be so much happier if my uncle texted me that he saw our underviewed Vimeo series.
Yeah. Yeah. We pour our heart into a year's worth of making basically a movie, and it's like, whatever. It's like, whoa, you were on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I guess.
No one got the answer right, but still.
They said it was the hardest question ever. What an esoteric poll, they said. Yeah. Oh, boy. Was that College Jeopardy?
I think we were Jeopardy question twice, and one time it was College Jeopardy, one time it was regular.
The haters are very quick to point out it was College Jeopardy, I assure you. Not real Jeopardy, was it? My enemy said. All right, so this is an advice podcast. People email us, ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Sometimes they'll seek our guidance. Sometimes they'll write a Scooby-Doo theme parody. We have no idea what we're going to get, but we got some good questions. How are you guys at giving advice? Are you wise? Do you guys have younger siblings that look up to you, friends that look up to you?
Mm. I'm pretty bad with advice.
Really?
To be honest, I never know what to give, really.
Yeah. That's good. Being self-aware is the first step, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty bad, too.
I've never had genuine
conversations with people. I'm very much doing bits, and Mike and I don't know a lot about each other.
No.
We've lived together for a long time and worked on this for a while, but for the most of it, it's talking about other mediums and
that's
other
true.
Things that exist.
All right, so let's see how well you guys can do right now. I feel like you're being a little self-deprecating, but we'll test your
Which
skills.
We appreciate.
Yeah.
This is a lady. Phil, do you have a fake lady's name? We're going to give this lady a fake name just so we can talk about her while preserving her anonymity.
How about Terry?
That's great.
Very nice.
Yeah, Terry what?
Just so smug. You guys should see Phil's face. How about Terry?
We're really good. Hyped on that. Terry Z.
That's cool.
Terry Z.
I like that.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Terry Z writes, I'm a 26-year-old yoga instructor from New York, and I'd love your insight. I have one-on-one sessions with a client. Let's call him Arnold. Some context for the next piece. I've been called a brunette Jessica Rabbit by many people, so I wear loose clothes, hair back, and no makeup with my privates to desexualize the experience as much as possible. His girlfriend, let's call her Helga, asked for a private too. I thought it went so well until Arnold frantically called me the next day saying she thinks we're having an affair. Arnold is asking me to lie about how many sessions we've had once a week and where we've had them at his house so that he doesn't look guilty. She just seems like a crazy insecure woman. I believe in integrity and truth, especially since nothing has ever remotely happened between us. But He does pay me $100 a week, which I need, and doesn't want to move forward until I lie. So, do I lie and feel uncomfortable for the money, or do I stand in my truth and lose one or two clients? Help, love, Terry Z.
This is incredible. First of all, that these sorts of situations exist in the world.
Yeah.
And then they're writing it. It's just amazing. Arnold is a piece of shit.
You think so?
I think he's a piece of shit.
I think he is too. He's like bringing this this poor yoga instructor into his problems.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, this lady is so convinced that Arnold is fucking a yoga instructor, and the only way to quell her fears is to get the yoga instructor to lie about how often they've been fucking. Sorry, doing yoga. $100 a week's worth.
It is funny. As soon as you said 26-year-old yoga instructor in New York City, I imagined the hottest girl ever. And then she was like brown-haired Jessica Rabbit, and I was like, okay, I was right.
I've been called a brown-haired. As we all are every now and then.
I wear loose clothes and hair back to desexualize it.
At first, I didn't realize what privates meant when she said, I don't wear makeup with my privates. I was like, is she like dolling up her pussy?
Usually when she goes out, she does.
Okay. Goodness gracious. So who wrote in? Jessica Rabbit wrote in, right? Terry Z?
Yeah.
Terry. She should not. I mean, $100 is pretty awesome.
A week.
$100 a week is pretty awesome. But I think she should really be open with what's the guy's name? Anthony?
Arnold.
Arnold?
Come on.
You had one job.
There's so many moving parts.
She does have two different. She's mixing, like, if she's going Jessica Rabbit, she should have done, like, the guy's name is Roger.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
But she's, like, bringing in, hey, Arnold.
Yeah,
to it.
There's
so that's what my advice is.
On how to write a question.
Straight. Yeah.
Well, let's put this in perspective that we can possibly understand. Phil or Mike, let's say someone's asking for one-on-one lessons. What would that be, and what are you great at? What are you in the 99th percentile of?
Man, maybe making animation stuff. You know, like they could give us storyboards and we could grade them and it be funnier.
So let's say a lady has been meeting with you once a week and her boyfriend's like, you're fucking these guys. I know it. And then she's like, can you just lie and say we haven't been meeting that often? Would you lie or would you call the guy and be like, listen, I've been meeting with her once a week, but we're not fucking, relax.
Look, she draws an amazing Jessica Rabbit. But, you know, I think it's just lessons.
Yeah, it's just lessons. Now, I think in any circumstance, if you're lying and you're building this house of cards, it's all going to fall down. And she's implicating herself in it, too.
Yeah.
Where you just got to, like, either say to the girlfriend, like, nothing's happening, or you say to the dude, nothing's happening, and just fucking write it all off. No matter what, don't lie, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Would
I got confused again with all these situations.
But you could say, like, hey, I never fucked your boyfriend, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
I fucked the guy once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry, I totally forgot to mention that. No, I'm just joking about that. But would you lie? Would you lie just to avoid this awkward moment, or would you, like, stand your ground, tell the truth, and potentially lose your client?
Yeah, I'd be a professional, right? We all got to have professional backbones. And I think we all, if we can't stand on that, God damn it, what can we stand on?
Mike is in downward dog right now.
I think the truth will prevail. I'm going to go off your little speech, and I think the truth will prevail in that it'll all, if she's honest with the girlfriend, that she'll eventually see the truth of the situation as well. That's my opinion.
And I've got two ideas, okay? One, you tell the guy, I'm not dealing with this. This is your problem.
Yeah, that's...
Like, you don't have to do anything.
Yes.
And the guy can go and, like, lie whatever he needs to say. And I think that the girlfriend would understand that the yoga teacher doesn't want to be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Two is you lie your ass off. You say everything this guy wants to hear. And then you're like, by the way, my rates went up to 150.
Hey! Yeah, that's good. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, did I mention the lying fee?
Let's do twice a week, 150. And if you don't pony up the cash, I'm going to tell your girlfriend that I sucked you up.
That's good.
That's pretty good, too.
That way you're making
more
money.
Well, I like the shit you said about having a backbone.
Yeah.
with that backbone shit. But yeah, no, that too. Yeah. With that extra $50 is gonna be pretty good too.
I would probably lie just to be like, listen, we've only been meeting twice a month, not once a week. So let me continue doing yoga with your boyfriend or whatever.
The interesting thing about that lie is that it does preserve the greater truth, which is that you haven't fucked.
Right, exactly. So like, it's like,
so if you don't lie, she doesn't believe the truth.
Whoa.
Fascinating.
Say that again.
I want to get it as a tattoo.
But this time I'm going to turn your mic off. yeah, that's it fair. Doesn't seem the bad lie is like, we have been fucking, but I have to lie to this girl. This is like a white lie where it's like, don't worry, we haven't been fucking because, and then the reasons are different. Mm. So that's why I feel like it's fine to lie. And it'll keep you getting $100 a week, which is pretty solid, though. In New York City, you guys know, that's not going to get you a slice of pizza and a cup of coffee.
On the corner, out of my way.
I was in New York last week. I paid $100, legit, for a slice of a pie.
Well, that's such a weird meal. You had a cup of coffee and a pizza.
And it was like $104.
So New York, you know, no rules. So.
And by the way, $4 for that cup of coffee.
Taxi!
Hey!
I took an Uber. It cost me $1,100.
Insane. You're overpaying for everything.
It was to Western Pennsylvania, but still, $1,100. All right, next question. Let's see what we got here. Oh, here we go. Mike, how about a fake guy's name?
A fake guy's name?
Yeah. It could be anything.
Donatello.
That's perfect.
Wow.
Where'd you come up with that?
You know what? Donatello is sort of one of those ones that's always stored in the back of my head. I like thinking of it not associated with Ninja Turtles. Yeah. No. That's not a part of this. This is just Donatello.
All right.
Donatello does machines? Is that what he did?
Donatello, yeah. Leonardo.
Leonardo, I feel like this group turned into a Ninja Turtles.
I apologize.
Thing. I know Michelangelo is a party dude.
Raphael is cool but rude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Donatello does machines.
What a weird pitch.
Does.
So he's cool but rude, right? But this guy does machines. and Michelangelo is a party dude.
Can you imagine? Like, when you go into this is too insider, but like pitching a TV show, you have to have the characters so in depth. And Donatello is just like the machines guy.
He does machines. It'll be in the theme song, so you guys will figure it out. You know how your uncle does machines? So Donatello does that.
So he's like that.
Yeah. All right. Donatello writes, here's my situation. My girlfriend and I have been on and off for almost 3 years. This time around, being on for the longest consecutive time, 10 months. After having been off for the longest time, 9 months.
So the questions we get can be a little confusing.
During those 9 months, we did our fair share of dirty deeds with other people. So when we got back together, we eventually got into an argument.
Thinking about sex just made you throw up.
Disgusting. During those 9 months, we did our fair share of dirty deeds with other people. That led us revealing the shit that we had done when we were apart. So that led her to building up trust issues with me because she found out I had dunked my donuts into a couple of her sorority sisters.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So that led to this huge fight we got into after doing the deed. We were going to town, and I was getting her to the point of no return, and boom, I KO'd that G-spot of hers. And soon after, it would be my turn to release the Kraken. Kraken?
Kraken. Release the Kraken is a really funny thing to talk
about. Can I change the name to Stifler?
However,
when you come and you scream, release the Kraken.
What is that a reference to?
Pirates of the Caribbean. Release the Kraken.
I don't even know what that
you
is.
You never saw it.
I guess I saw it 15 years ago. However, this time around, my load was a mere pea-sized amount and nothing more. And coincidentally, on this occasion, I tried some new positions as well. As soon as we were done, I started getting shit for this. She automatically begins to accuse me of cheating on her and having girls over when she isn't around. She starts to complain that I didn't come enough and that she knows how my body works, that when I don't come a lot, it's because I've been fucking. Mind you, she lives almost an hour away from me and she travels a lot from work, but I assure you I'm loyal AF. So my question for the signores is, how do I get her to trust me and understand that sometimes all you get is a pea-sized amount of human dough? And also, how do I increase my load amount? Do relationships this complicated usually end well? Ugh. Much love, Donatello.
All right.
Holy shit. A little addendum.
That won't be over.
Genuinely asking, how do I increase my load amount?
And he's so confident through that. It's like, release the Kraken, KO the G-spot. How do I increase my load?
God.
Yeah, just instant detective work after the ejaculation. Be like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Well, Donatello, I think the first and foremost, you guys are back together. Whatever you did during that 9 months, you boinked a bunch of people. Just be trustworthy for this, whatever period it was, 3 months or whatever you guys got to got back together for.
Yeah.
All you have to do is be trustworthy, man. And if she sees that your spurt is a little bit less than normal, well then, I don't know, bring up a Google search of like average male spurts.
Equals question mark.
Wait, did Donatello have a reason why his spurt wasn't all the way there?
Why did you remember? He could have just said he masturbated. Yeah.
He said he was like trying out different positions or something like that.
Your spurts are less the more you masturbate, right?
Yeah, because there's a finite amount, I would think, of spurting to be done. Like if you hold off for a long time, the first one is like, you know, the buildup of days and days.
Scary movie.
What's
you're blowing to the roof.
Oh yeah, scary. Classic. That's right.
Classic.
Jesus Christ, what a weird.
The bigger question
about that pitch.
That was so fucking.
The bigger question is at the end: do relationships this complicated usually end well?
I hate to say it, no. Right?
Yeah. I would like say any relationships usually don't end well. Like one in a thousand end well.
Trust either die or the other person dies.
Best case scenario. I feel like trust and jealousy is like this, it's a tiny little poison that can seep into a relationship. And once it's started, you can kind of just throw in the towel.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's no getting it back.
I don't think so, which is weird because he only fucked other people when they were broken up.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you have a job, you're not going to get that big of a pay increase. You only get the big pay increase when you leave and go to another company. Wow. So you're never going to get a big trust increase from the same human. That's you can only get it once you start from scratch.
This is the first time I've ever heard that metaphor used in a relationship. And it's kind of like cold, but it's really true.
It is.
So trust
that's
is
good.
Money.
Trust,
yeah.
Trust is money.
Love everything is money.
Yeah, everything is cash to me. And if you don't have someone that has a lot of cash, quit that person and hire another.
Guys, I think...
Yeah, but you could also be unemployed for a long time.
That's going to happen.
We're skirting the bigger question of how do you get that goop bigger, baby? How do you get more of that goop?
How do you get the guap, though?
that guap.
That fucking dough, that seed, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, eating pineapples just makes your goop taste better. That doesn't give you more
spicy
goop.
Spicy food, I heard, makes it taste better, too.
Okay. Well,
that's just how to make it taste better, which is not what he
asked. Doesn't matter if it's just a dollop. Jake, we need more.
You go to a nice restaurant, the food's not bigger, it just tastes better.
Yeah, that's true. So next time she complains, we're like, it's only a little bit, but try it.
I've tried it myself,
and it is very tasty.
Listen, Donatello, she lives in hour away. We all know you're jerking off too much, buddy. You just gotta quit squeezing that knob and hold on to it until you see your girl. Be trustworthy, but ultimately we all agree that you need a new job.
Yeah.
I.e. girlfriend. You're not gonna fix this one, dude.
It's too late. The damage is done.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll thank some peoples and we'll be back with more Phil and Mike after this.
Woo!
That was good.
That's amazing.
Perfectly harmonized. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Phil and Mike, how'd you meet each other? When did you meet each other?
Tell us everything.
You don't go from friends to an HBO show without having like a great...
Without making a few enemies.
That's right.
We worked at the same ad agency in like 2011, and then we were just coworkers.
That's pretty recent. That's not like 10, yeah. 20 years of friendship. You guys
a
are
lot
young.
Of people think we have known each other for a while,
yeah.
but it's really been, you know, since about then.
So 2011.
2011. But
you're
it
working
was,
together.
Yeah, an instant sort of like, let's make stuff on the side together. We were just two dudes. Like, Mike was making music videos. I was doing a little webcomic sort of thing.
Okay.
So we combined our forces and just started doing this little animals web series.
That was your first attempt
that
at something.
That was our first yep. attempt at something.
And you're shit. Still was, doing it as a television
and we're,
show.
And it's our job now for oh, yeah. a long time.
So what's the quick path there? You create it for fun for the internet, for
yeah,
YouTube?
Yeah, fun for the internet.
We got yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
We did. Yeah, we started making it kind of once a month, these little shorts, and then we would screen it around different places, and then eventually we did this kind of longer version that was like a quarter hour sort of thing, and that won this best comedy at this thing called the New York Television Festival, and then from there that sort of got us in touch with our producer Mark, and eventually we moved out here, made. To our first two episodes, and then screened those at Sundance.
Holy shit.
And then yeah. From there, sold it to HBO. And
Jesus.
We had our first two, we sold it for two seasons. So we got to make like two, we had the insurance of knowing that we were going to have two seasons and some time to figure
That's
it out.
Awesome.
You know,
very so little struggle okay. there. You're not supposed to succeed that quickly it, and frequently without any failure.
But you know what? It was... Like, our web series version of it was all about, like, placement and, like, getting on cool screenings and getting it into short film festivals and all that sort of stuff. But it sounds quicker, but, like,
yeah, that was
getting into Sundance was working in an apartment with four people for a year, Mike and I getting no, and, like, quitting our pretty good advertising jobs. Which also fucking sucked, so it wasn't that hard. Quitting those and moving to LA and not making any income for
a whole year. So why'd you move to LA before having the show?
It was, we knew we wanted to get into the industry somehow and like be writers eventually, whether or not this worked out. But, you know, our producer, Mark Duplass, you know, like we could get a lot more voice talent to do it if we moved out here. And just like working more intimately with him and him setting up our shop and everything.
We just wanted to be all in, you know, just felt like the move to, rather than sort of tiptoe and do it from afar in New York, it felt like we had to kind of, you know, fully bet on ourselves and the idea.
Wow. So you took a risk.
Took a tidbit of a risk.
Well, you were living together, so you were like trying to minimize your outgoing cash flow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a straight, it was this weird, like, going back to college sort of thing. After kind of starting a different career and then going back and calling my dad for money for a little bit.
Which is great, and now you guys are working with, like, A-list celebrities. Like, you have Oscar winners that are voicing characters on your show.
That's true. They crazy. Do come in, and they act, become turkeys and all these different wild sort
like,
of animals.
I mean, I've been there when people were recording. Everybody just has fun. It's like,
I mean, we've tried to keep it exactly the same as it was when it was Phil and myself in our apartments at 4 a.m. on a work day where, you know, it's just the fun of being around a microphone, knowing what we kind of have to do for a scene or something, but just laughing so hard and having so much fun, you know, doing recording and getting that vibe. And I think as the shell of this little show has grown and grown and we've gotten more and more people, I think that seed is still there, and that's what draws people to it, is it feels a little...
The scripts we got from season 1 and season... like anybody listening now can go watch both season 1 and 2 in entirety on HBO.
HBO Go, HBO Now, all that jazz.
And, like, you guys talk about what the scripts look like? Because they're pretty unique.
They're, like, these little 12 to 18 page outlines. That's basically, you know, it's bullet points for what each one of the scenes are going to be. So there's like a scene A and then 1, 2, 3 things that we want to get out in each one of these scenes. And that's basically it, what we're going to have for the actors and what we want them to do and their motivations
there's
and all that
stuff.
There's
a ton of improvising.
Ton of improvising. And every now and then we'll script out some stuff and give them lines and that sort of stuff. But, you know, you guys were in there where we were kind of feeling it out, different takes, and then we'll have takes about Third Eye Blind. I think that made the cut. I remember, it's like, okay, Jake really likes Third Eye Blind. You guys are smoking pot and talk about Third Eye Blind. And then you just did that, and now it's in the show.
Turn that into a runner, you know, and then bring it up later. And then I think
We really want it to feel like this, too, where it's like kind of a podcast vibe, and people come in and they're versions of themselves. The first season, you guys were like bullies. So it was like a little bit of like, we want Jake and Amir. Don't do like weird voices or anything, but like you're a little bit of these kind of bully guys.
Right.
So inherently, we feel like it becomes a little bit more organic and people relax and can be themselves a little bit.
It is funny that's like, it's such a, that's very, it is relaxed, but it's also such a clear vision for that show. That show has like stayed very consistent to it.
Oh, thanks, man.
Now you guys are working on season 3.
Season 3, mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't know we were going to get a season 3. We were picked up for the 2, so it was a little bit of a waiting period, but we got the 3rd season, and it's going to be really weird and different. We killed all the humans. Oh, shit. That's a spoiler if anyone has kids. But at the end of season 2, I say our show's not... It doesn't mean
it's not like Game of Thrones.
Yeah. We killed all the humans, so it's like this weird, like, all the animals are rebuilding their society. It's different. Wow. We try to make real big changes every season.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you've been working on this thing for probably, like, 6 years. Yeah. Are you like, I can work on it for 20? Or you're like, I hope it ends soon so I can work on this other idea I've had.
We've been dancing around, pitching other stuff, too. But we could do this forever, I think. I think we
like
could.
South Park, you could just do 20 seasons and
be
happy.
Yeah, because, you know, each episode is... they're connected throughout a season, but they are like their own little short films. So if you like think of like the dumbest thing possible, we have this fucking episode in this upcoming season that's a trial between the careers of Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler. And that's it. It's just these rats. It's like a courtroom drama kind of send up, but it's just my rat just really defending the fact that Jim Carrey is better than Adam Sandler.
Dude, that's what, another thing I love about your show is like your sense of nostalgia is like exactly where I am.
Yeah,
I don't think there's another show that does it that like that is it the exact same.
Are we the same age?
You
guys are a little younger than
I'm 28.
I just turned 30.
Yeah, so I'm 34.
And I'm 22, but that's hot, crazy.
Hot.
Wait, who said Adam Sandler is better than Jim Carrey?
No, my character does.
My character does.
I love that now I have to defend this. How did that even come about? I don't know. But
it was us just riffing.
We started just talking about how silly the idea is to compare these two. You know, the argument in the episode is that, you know, Phil's argument is that Jim Carrey is this artist that came out in 1994 and hits you with
Ace Ventura, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, 1994, all in one year.
It's a courtroom trial drama. So he comes out and like that's his whole thing, and then my whole thing is like the long ball game and like
the longest yard,
and how
he's an industry.
Adam Sandler is like a workhorse and is consistent and keeps doing it out of a love of it.
Yeah,
and
he definitely consistently makes movies.
He makes movies for sure.
He definitely hasn't stopped.
He has not stopped.
Mike's got a big line at the end where he's like, Adam Sandler has put David Spade's niece through college. Big web of the industry of
that's
Adam.
Great. Yeah.
I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I hope it's a
stain. I'm excited.
I wonder if they'll see it. I wonder if they'll do a voice.
Maybe.
Well, can you imagine?
We'll get
that,
you guys in. We'll figure out something.
That'd be great.
Would you guys get Jim Carrey?
I misheard you.
I meant.
Would be really bold to ask if we could come back for a second.
On the show. Keep rolling.
We're reaching out to them. So it's TBD, but we have it written where they can appear or they cannot appear. It's not going to happen.
Who's the biggest
But like,
name?
What if one of them gets on? Then you guys have to make that person
win. Yeah.
It's not like, can we have you on so we can fucking rail you and say you lost?
Right.
Debate.
It ends sweetly, it's just like it's not about this; it's about the idea.
But there is a winner.
They're both great, but there is a winner.
Who's the biggest name that said no to being on the show?
Ooh, Ashton Kutcher just said no right before we got here. Yeah,
Lauryn Hill. We just got it.
Lauryn Hill just said no. Tons of people have said no. We shoot for the goddamn roof, and every now and then it pokes through where Jessica Chastain or someone will say yes, and we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But
Jessica Chastain's the coolest one.
Yeah.
I just have a huge celebrity crush on her.
She's
amazing.
She was so sweet, too, and like we had her as a turkey that is about to sadly get slaughtered on Thanksgiving. And we played it like a drama, and we wanted her to do kind of this accent. It's her and Danny McBride. And
so you know everything I said about being yourself on her show?
Yeah.
That's completely untrue.
That. It was kind of a joke, too. That was like, all right, well, the one person to kind of do an accent instead of a really cartoony person will be Jessica Chastain doing like kind of an Eastern European thing. And she like really tried to get the accent like really specific, and it was just great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Cool. Well, look forward to seeing more. Season 3 coming in early 2025.
Yep, right about then.
Something like that.
It's going to be so good. When David Spade's niece is going into retirement.
Yeah.
We have time to answer one more question if you guys do.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. This is a 25-year-old British girl.
Okay.
Maybe you guys can tag team a name. Phil, first name?
I want to say Bridget.
Okay, that's good.
Bridget Beverly.
Oh.
Ooh, that is British.
High five. That's beautiful. That was the worst handshake I've ever seen. For sure.
I just grabbed his thumb like I was a baby.
Yeah.
I just came out the way. Mike's crying.
Like, look at the grip on this one, huh?
Bridget,
be a softball player.
Bridget Beverly is a 25-year-old British girl at university, and she has a problem. I have recently started going on dates as I want to be in a relationship. However, I don't like sex at all. It grosses me out, and I find the idea of having sex with somebody repulsive. My main problem is that I'm scared to tell people I am going on dates with this fact, as I'm worried that no one will want to date me if sex isn't on the table. Help! What should I do? Would you date someone long-term, knowing that they will probably never have sex with you? Thanks. Love, Bridget Beverly. P.S. I know a lot of people would say, how do you know you don't like sex if you've never tried it? But believe me, I tried it, and it didn't get very far, since the idea of sex is so gross to me.
Wow.
Let's try to be really woke when we answer this question.
Yeah.
First off, very British question.
Sex is improper to me.
Right.
Goodness. Okay, so she's asexual.
Yeah.
Is that that's our term, right?
It's funny because asexual means not sexual, right?
Yes.
Asexual being means you are sexual, right?
Asexual.
I don't know, just a little grammar humor for everybody.
Quick aside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever met somebody or known somebody to be like this?
No.
Right.
This is...
It goes against evolution.
Yeah.
Sex is supposed to feel good so that you procreate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a real thumper, well, huh?
I would not date people and spring that on them at a certain point. I feel like that's the first thing. That's right. The lead.
It's straight up a non-starter.
Of course.
Yes. There's no getting around it.
It sounds like she... ultimately just wants friends, right?
Because you want a really close friendship or a relationship with another. I feel like there's got to be asexual like message boards or dating apps or something.
Yeah, like, but how does it work? So like, let's say you're asexual. Do you like making out? Do you like cuddling? Do you like what?
Where
do
does
you,
it
what
end?
Are you down? Like yeah. At what point does
you
want to
date with
than...
her?
Like,
how about a hand job? Christ, Bridget.
At least watch me jerk it.
For crying are you into mutual masturbation?
What were you saying about being woke? So I don't understand. If two asexual people get together, is it any different than friendship? Are they like cuddling? Are they feeling some sort of semblance of romantic interaction?
Yeah, because they could say I love you and stuff, right?
Sure, like you could say
emotional,
that to friends.
Like that's being in a relationship, I guess. Man, this is really kind of hurt my brain.
I bet there's a spectrum of like being asexual where like some people are into cuddling but not wet contact and some people are into like zero contact at all, just want the camaraderie.
I want to talk to this girl. I want to be like, do you masturbate? Does it feel good to orgasm? Have you ever orgasmed? Does any of it feel good or like what part of it grosses you out?
Right.
Mm. Yeah. We should really... have a podcast where we like have people on that we are allowed to ask dumb questions to. Because sometimes we have like gay or lesbian people on this podcast and I'm afraid to ask them because I don't want to seem like I don't know what I'm talking about.
How does
about.
It go between the two?
What is it to be bi?
Yeah.
So Bridget's question is what exactly?
You know, since sex is off the table for, I'll say this to Bridget, you know, it focuses, you know, what your, first priority should be, which is finding somebody who appreciates you for you and you appreciate them for them. And then you start there and then you work and you build a thing that works for both of you.
Mike is rock hard right now.
I am just peaking right now. Ooh! And let me tell you something. No, I'm not gonna make a.
No.
I was gonna go for a spurt joke.
Like, oh wow!
It's
not a pea-sized amount.
It's
yeah.
Would you guys date somebody that was asexual, or is it also like a tell me before we even get into half of a conversation?
I would for sure like to know up front. That's like. I don't know. It feels goodness, I'm trying to be woke about this.
Well, but it's about you.
There are some things that you need to know
right
up front.
Or
there's,
anything.
You know, like, oh, my dad's in jail or something. That you don't have to like tell somebody that up front. You know, that's like you can tell. You can tell. This one's one you need to know up front. Because I think 99% of the human population likes to have sex. And it's fine that some people don't, but you can't really get into a relationship with someone when you love sex.
It's a two-way street, right?
Yeah.
So
I keep thinking about wet contact. That was a great term.
Thank you.
Nailed
thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Wet contact.
Wet
did you say
contact.
That?
When I was talking about the spectrum of
that's where
asexuality.
She cuts it off is wet contact.
So the specific question is, what should I
really
do?
Really
what should I do, and would you date someone long-term, knowing that they will probably never have sex with you?
Never.
I think none of us would date someone long-term.
Right.
If that's answering that question. But what would she do is, you got to just, whatever you're meeting people on, the Tinder, the et cetera profile, put it in there. Just put it in.
Because then, I mean, you're also going to
explain it.
It's not
helpful,
looking for
it's
hookups
to them,
or
but
sex
it's
ever.
Helpful to her because I think she's gonna
have her heart broken over and over again. Yeah. If she's like starts to like somebody a lot, she's like, by the way, I'm not going to have sex with you. And they're like, oh, we're, you want to wait till marriage? She's like, no.
Guess
not out after that, too.
Never. No. Keep going.
Never is a
problem. Not there either. Yeah, because some people are fine to wait for marriage.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, so, people are fine to – I think there's definitely people that are – If it's important to you to wait to have sex, that's something that's not like you don't have to tell somebody right away for that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if she's having difficulty having sex because she doesn't love the people she's having sex with. So maybe if she's in this relationship long enough, she can develop something where she learns to tolerate it more. And again, it's quite all right if you are completely asexual and you never want it. That's fine.
But does my fiance think I like going to Whole Foods every Sunday? No, but I tolerate it.
Tolerate it.
Worked out.
Yeah. Is it like, can you take an asexual person? Is it like someone who's like, you know what? I don't like olives, but I've been eating a little bit and now I've trained myself to enjoy it. Certainly sex is better than olives. Can you do that with sex? Can you grow to learn to like sex?
Yeah.
It seems possible.
This is why we need to have some sort of sexual therapist or expert on our show.
Yeah. But we can only answer what we could do, which is, one, I would say let the person know up front. And I'm sure there's like, if not an app, then at least a message board or community where you can meet other like-minded asexual people. And then you don't have to worry about what the other person's thinking because they're just like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What about an asexual love story? Wouldn't that be an interesting rom-com?
That would be.
Yeah.
You guys want to tag team it?
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Go four-way on the script?
Yeah. At the end, Google Docs,
what do you guys use?
Yeah. Let's do a shared doc. We'll bust out the outline real quick. Yeah.
This is our story to tell. So at the end, they'll fuck. We were missing this whole time.
Yeah.
Big spurt.
It's just a quarter gallon. Rich. Spurts.
We liked it the whole time.
The credits is just like sploosh and then a name for it. Yeah. Sploosh. Name for it.
Anyway, Donatello does machines, so that's
yes,
our
he does.
Let us know what you think. All right, Phil and Mike. This was fun. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you guys
down.
For Thank having us.
Thanks for having
Where
us.
Where can our fans find you guys?
I'm at Phil or Philip on all this stuff, Twitter, etc.
Phil or Philip.
Phil or Philip with one L on that back end, Philip.
Really?
Very nice. Yeah.
Is that a choice your parents made?
Yep.
There's also
imagine
Philip,
I took
Phillips
it away. This
IPs and UPs, right?
Oh, I've never seen a UP before.
I knew a
that's
Philip
incredible.
Growing up.
Really?
With a UP?
Maybe that's just how I pronounced his name. Philip. Really? Quiet, Philip.
There's also an F-Y-L-Y-P, right?
Yeah. You could spin it however you want. But guys, just to drive it home again, that's Phil or Philip.
I follow you on Twitter, and it's a very enjoyable
Thanks,
experience.
Jake.
Yeah, there's a great tweeter.
What about Michael?
I am is at Mike Luciano. That's going to be on Instagram.
Oh.
And then if you go over to the Twitter app, it's going to be at Mike Luciano Sup. That's S-U-P. You can just say sup to me whatever you want. Interpret it your way.
And that's perfect. It's not confusing, which is what I love about it. Yep.
Straightforward.
Luciano Sup.
Thanks to everybody that wrote in, including the theme song submitters. At the top, what was that person? Oh, Dear Lincoln, the
Dear
band Lincoln. Dear Lincoln.
Solid, I like that as a band name.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's a good band name.
And this closing one is Zach and Adam, who make music as Azure. A-Z-U-R.
That one's not as good.
And then you can go to soundcloud.com/weareazure. Of course, there's no E at the end of Azure when they spell it in their band.
Are you Azure?
I'm absolutely certain, at the very least. All right, so thanks, Zach and Adam, and Dear Lincoln, and Phil and Mike.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Adios, amigos.
Nice. We'll be back next week. Bye.
Two gorgeous a year to alleviate your fears. So brush away your tears. Cause here's Jake and me.
nil, you get 1 point for being a bitch. This one's for the skunk, though.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.